I'd like to turn your attention this morning to verse number 8 of Psalm 56. Verse number 8 of Psalm 56. This is the text of Scripture that we want to consider this morning. It says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." In other words, David is saying, "Lord, you know everything about me. Lord, you're conscious of the life that I lead. You know all about my circumstances. You watch over me. You know my downsitting, my uprising. You know all about me, Lord. Lord, thou tellest my wanderings." And because the Lord knew all about David, David therefore says, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" This is an unusual text of Scripture. "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" I believe today that God has a peculiar and a special interest in the tears of his children. And that's the subject that I want to consider and deal with this morning, the tears of the saints. "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" We'll have just a brief word of prayer and ask for God's help and ask for the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and pray that God will lead us and guide us into all truth, and that we be conscious that this is indeed God's message. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy precious, precious Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth, forever settled in heaven. But, O God, I'm very conscious this morning that the letter killeth, but it is the Spirit that giveth life. And to that end, O God, I pray that Thou wilt fill me with God the Holy Ghost, and that Thy Spirit will minister to every single heart in this meeting this morning. I pray that Christ will be uplifted. Father, I am trusting Thee for power. Thine can never fail. Words which Thou alone can give me shall and must prevail. I ask this in Jesus' name and for His eternal glory. Amen. You know, I believe I can say without any fear of contradiction in this meeting this morning that none of us are strangers to tears. All of us, I'm certain, have known what it is to weep and to cry and to shed tears. Perhaps even in the last week, there are many here in this meeting this morning that in the secret place, in the quiet place, whenever nobody has known anything about it, you have known what it is to weep and to shed tears. And I'm sure and all certainly that for some of us, the week that is about to commence might even cause us, by means of the circumstances that we face, cause us to shed tears. You know, tears are they which have brought families close together. And sadly, whenever we consider and think about tears as well, tears have driven families and friends and communities far, far apart. Scientists will tell us that the human is the only created being that can shed tears in the sense of emotion. You know, I believe this morning that tears are a universal language. You can turn on your television sets, watch the news or watch some documentary or some program on television, and you could see a person from another country. You mightn't understand their language or be able to understand their dialect or perhaps know nothing at all of their background. But whenever you see tears rolling down their cheeks, immediately something is communicated to you of the burden that is on that person's heart. We all understand tears. Tears are a universal language that don't really need any sort of explanation. More can be said, I believe, in the shedding of a few sincere, heartfelt tears than can be said or expressed in an avalanche of burning words. You see, this morning, tears are those which affect the soul and the heart of man. Somebody said that tears paint the picture of the soul upon the canvas of the emotions. And so often tears are shed, perhaps more often than not rather, tears are shed as the result of a wound to the soul rather than of a wound to the body. We are told that tears serve as a lubricant for the eye. And the human tear is made up of sodium chloride and calcium, and it's the body's way of lubricating the eye. But I believe whenever we consider what the Bible has to say about tears, that tears are much more than just a lubricant for the eye. I could say this morning that tears are the expression of the heart in liquid form. And if God spares us, all of us, literally, and I mean that, all of us literally, in our lifetime will shed bucket loads of tears. But dear child of God, I want to speak for your encouragement this morning. And I want to remind you, and I want to try and communicate to your heart and to your life and to your mind that the tears that we shed in time, I am convinced one day will sparkle as jewels in God's eternity. God has a special interest in the tears of His children. David says, Lord, Thou tellest my wanderings. Therefore put Thou my tears into Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? And David was altogether convinced, because he had proved God, and because he knew something of the Word of God, and more than that, he knew something of the very heart and love and mercy and grace and compassion of God, that as David wept before the Lord, God took his tears, spiritually speaking. Every single one of them. And God had a bottle with David's name on it. And God put those tears into David's bottle. And God recorded the tears of David in God's book. God knows about your tears, dear child of God, in this meeting today. Not only does God know, but God is concerned. And God sees in the secret place the burden of your heart. I want to speak this morning on the subject of tears. The tears of the saints, or the tears of God's people. Now, it's often been said that in Scripture, the number 5 is the number of grace. And I trust today, as we consider tears, that God will give us grace to understand the concern that God has concerning our tears. And that as in the future we shed many, many more tears, that the Lord will give us grace to express to the Lord the very burden that is on our heart. I've got 5 different types of tears that I want to consider very simply and briefly this morning. 5 different types of tears that every child of God will shed or ought to shed sometime during the course of his life. The first type of tear is the tears that we shed for sin. And these are tears of confession. These are the tears of remorse, the tears of regret, and the tears of repentance that every single sinner sheds before the Lord as they weep their way to the cross and enter therein to the joy of the Lord and experience God's salvation. You know, we live in a world that is no stranger to sorrow, no stranger to tears, no stranger to broken hearts, broken homes, and broken lives and broken hopes. And I believe that the majority of tears that are shed in this world are the direct result of sin. I believe today, if only God's people had more sorrow over their sin, there would be a lot less sorrow and tears because of sin in this world in which we live. So long as a person can find sorrow and tears over their sin, they will always find comfort from Christ. You see, whenever Jesus Christ was preaching, and I believe it was the greatest sermon that any man ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed or happy, privileged, blessed are they that mourn, they that weep, those that shed tears, blessed are they that mourn. Why? Because they shall be comforted. So long as a person can find sorrow for sin, they will always find comfort from Christ. So often we are told today by many sincere people, come to Jesus and be happy. And that's the gospel message. People say, come to Jesus and be happy. And do I can say today without fear of contradiction that there is happiness, there's blessedness, there's joy, there's peace, there's contentment, there's satisfaction in coming to Christ and in being a Christian. But the message of the gospel is not so much come to Jesus and be happy. The message of the gospel is come to Jesus and be forgiven. Come to Christ and be reconciled. Come to the Lord and be converted. Come to Christ in repentance. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, and they always seem to have trouble with the religious people, and I don't believe it's any different today. Never came to make people religious. He came to make people righteous. And he said to the scribes and the Pharisees, who looked out in the world and always seemed to be condemning that which was going on, and he said, listen, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That was the Lord's message. And if you like to consider some people in Scripture that knew what it was to shed tears, I believe it'll speak to your hearts. You can think perhaps of David that penned this very psalm. And just a few psalms before, in Psalm chapter 51, we come to realize that David was a man that wept over his sin. Psalm 51 verse 1, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Verse number 4, he says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then verse number 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Broken before God. Why? Because he had lost out with God because of sin. And then I believe we see the tears in verses 17, because he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You might also like to consider Peter. You know, whenever I look at Peter, I see so much of myself. I see someone that was void of much understanding. Somebody that was rash with his mouth. Somebody that was slow to comprehend spiritual truth. And there came a time in Peter's life whenever the Lord took Peter to one side and he says, listen, Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Another occasion, Peter spoke to the Lord and he says, Lord, I would go with you to the grave. And the Lord rebuked him and the Lord says, Peter, I tell you, before the cock crow, thou shalt have denied me thrice. And you can read the account in the four Gospels of how Peter saw the Lord being taken in the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter began to follow the Lord afar off. And it ended in tears. Because whenever Peter began to follow the Lord afar off, his heart wasn't right. And whenever Peter was tested and Peter was tempted, Peter failed the Lord. And with oaths and with cursings, he denied the best friend that he'd ever had in all the world. And then the cock crew. And Luke's gospel tells us that whenever the cock crew, as soon as that happened, Peter's heart was smitten. And it says that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And I believe that Luke that the Son of God gave to the disciple that had grieved him and denied him said everything. It was not saying, Peter, you've denied me, I'm going to cast you off. Jesus was not saying to Peter, you've grieved me so much, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to chasten you, and Peter, I'll get you for this. I believed as Peter looked upon the Lord that he loved and the Lord that he denied, the Lord was looking at Peter, and there was love, there was mercy, there was grace, there was compassion in his eyes, and the Lord was saying, Peter, you've hurt me. But Peter, I'll tell you, I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And as Peter looked at the Lord and the Lord looked upon Peter, the Bible says that Peter went out and Peter wept bitterly. How can we see our sin and see what it did to the Son of God. And how does this not cause us to weep? Jesus Christ shed his precious blood because of my sin. And I stand here today ashamed that so often I don't even shed a single tear over my sin. You know, the Bible says in Zechariah 12 verse 10 that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and they shall mourn for him. Whenever the Lord returns, I believe we'll see him in all his glory. And it will cause us to weep. Maybe you're in this meeting and you've never trusted Christ. You're still in your sins. Your sin's causing you misery. You need to get before the Lord and weep and shed those tears for sin. Tears of confession. But also in the Bible there are tears of salvation. You know, how often are tears shed? Tears of salvation, tears of conversion, whenever a person weeps their way to the cross. How often are tears of joy and tears of gladness shed as a sinner finds Christ and recognizes that he is altogether lovely? How often do we look back and see what we were in Adam? Dead in sins. Cut off from God, and then we see Christ who reconciled us unto God by his living and his dying and his glorious resurrection. And think of what we were in Adam and what we were in Christ, and just get before the Lord and weep and shed tears over our salvation. Tears of gladness, tears of conversion, tears of salvation. But you know, I have to say today that no Christian is ever exempt from sorrow. And all of us today as God's people, if you're saved, know what it is to weep. Tears of sorrow. Tears of contrition. Whenever a person gets saved and a person gets converted, that does not mean in any way that they are exempt from sorrow and from trial and from tribulation. Some of the greatest men in the Bible wept. I think of Joseph. As I was thinking about tears, I looked at the book of Genesis and I thought about Joseph, and I counted 8 different times whenever the Bible records that Joseph wept. Wept over his family. And maybe there are people here like that this morning, and do you know what it is to sorrow and to weep and to mourn over your family? You see how far some of them are from God, and God knows your tears. Listen, God puts those tears into his bottle. God records them in his book. They are not forgotten. I think of Job. Job had everything. Job was perfect before the Lord, and the Lord took it from him. Job 16, verse 16, Job says, "My face is foul with weeping." And that word foul can be interpreted inflamed. Job says, "My face literally is swollen with tears." I think of David and I think of Jonathan. Two of the best friends in the Bible. David's life was under threat because of Jonathan's father, and that friendship was broken. And so they parted company. They fell upon each other. They kissed, and it says, the Bible says, that they wept. And they went their separate ways. I think of King Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, the prophet of the Lord came to Hezekiah and said, "I have a message from God. Set thine house in order. Thou shalt die and not live." Then he went on his way. And here's the godly king, sitting in his bed chamber, alone before God, and it says he turned his face towards the wall, and he prayed. And he wept. And then the prophet came back, and God had given him another message, and God says, "Hezekiah, I have seen thy tears. I have seen thy weeping." And maybe today again there's one like Hezekiah. And I'll tell you, a smile covers a lot, doesn't it? You can come out to this meeting and someone says, "Brother, how are you? Sister, how are you?" And you put that smile on, that Sunday morning smile, and you say, I'm fine, thanks for asking. But behind that smile there's a heart that is broken. Behind that countenance there's a heart that just wants to weep before God. And you're like Hezekiah in the secret place. You turn before the Lord and you weep. Nobody knows anything about it, but I'll tell you, God sees your tears. And God puts them into his bottle. You see, our lives are filled with sorrow at times, but Jesus Christ sees our tears. You see, he himself was a man of sorrows. He himself was a man acquainted with grief. Indeed, the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, just says, "Jesus wept." You think of a mother standing at an empty crib. You think of a young boy or a young girl standing at the side of a grave and just can't understand what's happening. And can't understand why the world would be so cruel. You think about a young husband perhaps nursing his dying wife. And you ask the question, as the hymn writer did, and you say, does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Does he? Too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the day grows weary and long, I can tell you, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Saviour cares. You ask me, how do I know he cares? Because Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, we have not a great high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I tell you, he's touched. He's moved by the feelings of your weaknesses, your sins, your infirmities, all the things that grieve you. I tell you, the Lord knows all about it. Some of God's choicest saints wept. I think of John Patton, missionary from Scotland, from the city of Glasgow. Had a burden in his heart to go away and to reach the people of the New Hebrides, Vanuatu. And his church wouldn't support him. God's people wouldn't support him. They says, you're a fool, you'll be eaten by cannibals. And so he went off on his own. Off to the other side of the world, to those islands off the northeastern coast of Australia, just cut off from all contact with home. He went out, his wife was heavily pregnant. Within 6 weeks, I think it was, of being there, his wife died in childbirth. And here's the missionary, left everything to go and serve the Lord. You'd think he'd be blessed, his wife died. And then that little child, it died 6 weeks later. And here's the great missionary that's left behind a great ministry in Glasgow. And here he is in the mission field. And he labored on one of those islands for 10 years. Didn't see one person won to Christ. I'll tell you, I'm sure he wept. I'm sure he wept. But the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And here's John Patton, and he goes to another island, and virtually that whole island of hundreds of cannibals was won to Christ. It is certain that some of God's choicest saints weep. And I'm sure today that none of us have shed our last tear either. You know the last time tears are mentioned in the Bible? Revelation 21 verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be neither sorrow, and there shall be no more crying. Because there will be no more sin. But until then, let us all rest content that God sees our tears. God counts them and God puts them into his bottle. Tears for sin. Tears of salvation. Tears of sorrow. But let me challenge God's people at this very point. What about tears for sinners? Tears of commission. Let me challenge you today. Let me ask you a question. I'm asking it to myself as well. When was the last time you wept over a lost soul? When was the last time you got before God in the place of prayer and you began to shed tears over your friends and loved ones that are not saved? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, I don't believe for a moment that God ignores the prayers of the broken. Leonard Ravenhill says, God does not answer prayer. You might say that's heresy. God does not answer prayer. He says God answers desperate prayer. And I don't know about the theology behind that, but I believe it. I don't believe God's under any obligation to answer that kind of prayer that just flows out like a tape recording and doesn't mean anything. You know, we often say about the Church of Ireland, you know, reading out of their prayer books. Sometimes we're almost as guilty. There's no desperation. There's no sincerity about our praying. Well, I believe souls do not get saved by God's people wishing. Souls get saved whenever God's people start weeping. And you can look back in a time in your life, many of you I'm sure, whenever you were on fire for God and you had a burden for souls, and today you're cold as ice. And like Lord Byron, you have to lament, I now have ashes where I once had fire. The soul in my body is dead. The thing I once loved, I now merely admire. My heart is as grey as my head. You know, I believe if we were like the Jews at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, we could be in revival right now. The Apostle Paul said concerning Israel in Romans chapter 10 verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have got a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. Broken for them. But I'm sure if Paul was here today, he would look at us and say, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they might get real with God, for I bear them record that they have a knowledge of God, but they've got very little zeal. Is it not the case that we could all expound theology and preach the gospel and explain it, but really, whenever it comes down to the crunch, it doesn't really affect our hearts all that much? You think of Hannah, whenever she got into God's house, and she wept sore before the Lord, and she just let the tears flow. Why? Because her womb was barren, and she couldn't bear children. And she wasn't content to be barren. And I think the church is a lot like Hannah, except it is so often content to be barren. And I believe if we got before the Lord and says, Lord, we can't stick the barrenness any longer. We began to weep. I believe something would begin to happen. God's Son, Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, whenever he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were scattered abroad, the sheep without a shepherd. Luke 19:41 says, whenever he beheld the city, he wept over it. And I'll tell you in this meeting that are not saved, God loves you. Jesus Christ is concerned about you today. And I believe he looks down upon you, and I believe he's moved with compassion as he sees you flitting about this world as a sheep without a shepherd. But oh, what a lesson that is for the child of God. If the Son of God wept, and he's our example in all things, how much more have we an obligation to have a burden for the lost? Robert Murray McShane wept over Dundee. And he said to his mother, Mother, can you not hear it? The tramp, tramp, tramp of Christless feet on their way to hell. David Livingstone wept over Africa. William Carey wept over India. Hudson Taylor wept over China. John Knox wept over Scotland, saying, Lord, give me Scotland or else I die. David Brainerd wept over the North American Indians. John Patton wept over the cannibals. Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. Have you ever wept over Macrofelt? Probably we're too busy to. Too busy, too apathetic to rescue the perishing. Too busy to care for the dying. Too busy to snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Too busy to weep o'er the erring one and to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. We're like the ones perhaps in Amy Carmichael's vision, sitting in the long grass making daisy chains while the blinded multitudes just walk over that cliff edge to their destruction. The last type of tears that I want to consider briefly are tears for the sanctuary. And these are tears of communion. You know, there's a verse in Joel chapter 2, verse 17. And it says, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. It's not an unusual thing. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. It's like God saying to his people, forget about your sacrifices. Forget about your offerings. Forget about your prophesying and your preaching. Forget about your praying. Forget about your praising. You need to weep. Why? Because my sanctuary is desolate. Joel 2:17, let the priests and ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them, and say among the people, where is their God? You know, I believe that the world looks at the church, and people that are not Christians look upon people that are Christians and say, well, where is their God? Where is this God that spoke the universe into existence? Where is this God that parted the Red Sea? Where is this God that fed the 5,000? Where is this God that sent fire from heaven? Where is this God that moved in Pentecost? If your God is so mighty, where is he? Weep between the porch and the altar, and I believe God will soon begin to reveal himself. You know, you read about the prophets, especially Jeremiah. And the Bible says that they had something the Bible calls the burden of the Lord. You don't hear much about that nowadays, but there's something that you can have called the burden of the Lord. Jeremiah had it. And therefore, Jeremiah says, Oh, that mine head were a fountain of tears, and mine eyes many waters. No, I don't believe the Church of Jesus Christ is what God intends it to be. Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. Why? That he might present unto him a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Any spots or wrinkles today in our hearts, in our lives? So much practice so openly in the church. And the Lord says, listen, weep between the porch and the altar. God's servant Daniel says, Lord, cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for thy name's sake. Desolate, dry, barren. You know, the world out there is longing for reality. Do they see it in our lives? You know, there's a young preacher once for the Salvation Army. He was working in a very hard mission station. He wrote to General William Booth and he says, you know, I'm coming home. It's too hard. I just want to quit. I'm getting ready to pack my bags. God's people aren't with me. General William Booth sent them back a telegram with two words, try tears. They do not get discouraged and say, well, you know, there's so little happening today. Well, God's not moving, and this is just the day of small things, and I suppose we'll have to be content with that. Is it really? Can we lift our hand to God and say, this is the day of small things, Lord, you're not moving? Whenever we haven't got serious about prayer, about holiness, about evangelism, and about weeping between the porch and the altar. You know, sometimes I wonder, does God take me seriously? Amos says there will come a day whenever there will be a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. If there was a famine in this land physically, all of us eventually, very, very quickly probably, would begin to weep. But what about the spiritual famine? Is it not true that we hear sermons? Is it not true that we come to church? Is it not true that we sit through meetings, conventions, missions? We hear much preaching. But at the same time, there's a famine of hearing the words of God. I believe there's a big difference between God's truth and God's message. I would be so discouraged today if people were to leave this meeting and says, well, I heard a sermon, but I didn't hear from God. We need to hear from the Lord. Tears for the sanctuary, tears for sinners, tears of sorrow, tears of salvation, tears over sin. May God grant us tears, because tears are a language that God understands. We'll just have a word of prayer together before we sing our closing hymn. Let's bow our heads and seek God's face. Don't forget about the service tonight. Lift your heart to God even in the afternoon and pray that God will be pleased to move in this meeting tonight. Father in heaven, we do thank thee today that thou art a God that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We thank thee, O God, that thou dost take our tears and thou dost put them into thy bottle. Write them all down in thy book. Father God, as we weep before thee, we pray that thou wilt give us that assurance that God knows, God understands, God cares, and God will come. Father, bless every heart bowed in thy presence. May we all experience God's richest blessing for our lives. And Father God, may we go on to know our Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt bless us just now. In Jesus' name, amen.